You know, almost wanted to go down for a walk on the beach, and but I remember it is Tuesday and it is the last day, so we need to finish it up this weekend. We'll come back Friday, by the way. We'll come back one more night, Friday night at 7 o'clock. We will be looking at Let Freedom Ring, the U.S. in Bible Prophecy. You believe that we're losing our rights in this country right now? You've been hearing some of that stuff? It's prophesied, and we'll be looking at that from the Bible. So that'll be Friday night, Let Freedom Ring. You know, we love this country. I love this country. I told you my story of becoming a naturalized U.S. citizen, and my wife will tell you that I'm a very patriotic person. And this is not a bashing our country, but this is just to see what's happening in our country that has been prophesied from the Bible. So we'll see that Friday night at 7 o'clock. Of course, tonight we're looking at Turn Back the Clock, How to Achieve Maximum Health. So we'll come back Friday night. And again, remember, again, the church has given me permission to change the service on Saturday morning. So we'll completely change the service again, and we'll do another presentation. So our last presentation will actually be Saturday morning at 11 o'clock. So we invite you to come out, and then at 7 o'clock that Saturday night, we will meet, but it'll be a party. We'll have Subway sandwiches, and you know, I'll have a little survey for you there so you can give me some feedback. Let me know some of the things that you really enjoyed, some of the things that we could have improved on, and you know, we'll calculate all of that and put it into practice whenever we do the following seminar. So please make sure you come out on Saturday night. Now, if you've been coming, you know, and you've been enjoying this, please come out. But don't tell anybody else that hasn't been coming, because I don't want them to come out and just eat and give us survey information where they haven't been here. See what I'm saying? I want people to come out that have been here so that they can give us, you know what I'm saying, I'm kidding there. We'll have plenty of food for everybody. So bring your friends, bring everybody. It'll be great. It'll be a good time together. All right, Turn Back the Clock, How to Achieve Maximum Health. Pray with me as we start. Our Father in Heaven, we thank you so much, Lord, for the opportunity to come here and to learn again from your word. We just pray, Lord, that you'll give us the wisdom, you'll give us the Holy Spirit again. I pray, Lord, that you will hide me behind the cross, and that, Lord, you would give me your words and your thoughts so that your people will be fed this evening, Lord. For we ask it all in the precious name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Turn back the clock, how to achieve maximum health. Mr. Jones had been working for 38 years. This guy was a faithful worker. If he was sick, he would get up and go to work. He had not missed a day in about 38 years of work. He was only 3 weeks to retiring. He had done so much work, he had been able to put some money aside, and he was planning a good retirement. He was planning trips to the Far East. He was going to take his wife. Their kids were now educated. They were out of the house, so they were just going to take some time and enjoy their life savings. Well, one morning, about 3 weeks before the retirement, he woke up with a stabbing pain in his heart. He could not move. He did not, you know, he was not able to talk. His wife came in, saw him, call 911. The ambulance came and took him. They put him in the hospital. They were able to save him by doing a triple bypass. His life was spared, but his life's savings was gone. Now he had to take medication, and he had to pay extreme amounts of money for medication. They say that health is one of the most expensive things right now that a person can pay for. And you've been hearing it in the news, this health plan and all of this health insurance. It's one of the biggest things as far as monies that a person can go to. So the big question is, can you afford poor health? Can you afford to have poor health? And the question is obviously no. It is just too expensive.
any doctor visit will take a lot of money. Anything takes a lot of money now. So as children get sick, you know, and it's interesting because it used to be that when you went to a doctor, the doctor would take care of you. They would, you know, they would look at you and, okay, well, they kind of knew. Now there's so much bureaucracy through the health system that many times a person will go to the hospital for one thing and they'll get tested for 10 different things before they're decided to say, okay, yeah, you really didn't have anything. Please go home and get some rest. So you see what's happening. And so health is becoming a major thing. As a matter of fact, Queen Elizabeth I said, all my possessions I would give for one moment of time. All my possessions, everything. And she was a rich, rich, rich queen. But you see, the problem is that we cannot buy health. We cannot put money down and enjoy it. We cannot buy it. We have to create it. We have to have a lifestyle that promotes health. Dr. Breslow, the University of California in Los Angeles, UCLA. By the way, I almost went to UCLA. Grew up right near UCLA. My brothers actually graduated from USC, so we were, you know, we would have been rivals. But anyway, so Dr. Breslow from UCLA did a study that took 9 years. It involved 7,000 people, and just simply he asked 7 questions, and he monitored them. So this is the results from those study. These are the 7 questions, actually. Number 1, do you smoke? First question, do you smoke? Number 2 question, do you drink alcohol? And if so, to what extent? Third question, do you get regular exercise? Do you move? And I see some of you either going this way or going this way. That's all right, okay? That's what we're here for tonight, to learn the principles from the Word of God. Question number 4, how many hours do you sleep? How many hours do you sleep every night? Okay? Important questions, right? How much do you weigh? Don't answer that. Don't say it out loud. I don't want to say it out loud. Because we can always think we can weigh a little bit less, right? How much do you weigh? Number 6, are you eating breakfast regularly? Are you having a regular breakfast? Number 7, do you snack between meals on a regular basis? So very simple questions, right? It's nothing extraordinary, but you see, if they responded positive to these questions, and if they did very good on those questions, the average person added 11 and a half years of quality life to their life. That's simply by not smoking, not drinking, getting enough exercise, getting to bed at a regular time, doing the things, you know, having breakfast, nutrition, all of these things, getting out and doing some activities in the open air. I told you I almost felt like I didn't want to come in this evening. I almost wanted it to be Wednesday instead of Thursday because the weather was so nice. It's good to get out and get some fresh air. It's good for the muscles to get some activity. So health helps us. As a matter of fact, John, 3 John 1 and 2 says, "Beloved, I pray that you may prosper in all things and be in health just as your soul prospers." So God wanted us to be healthy. God wants us to be healthy. Now, why would you think God would want us to be healthy? What do you do when you're sick? How do you feel when you're sick? Can you think clearly? Let's just think of a simple headache. How does a headache affect the things you do? Can you do hammering work? Can you do it? Can you be around anybody that's speaking maybe a little loud? Not if you have a headache. You see, when we are not functioning, that's what I'm trying to say. Just had a word lock there. When we're not functioning properly, it just doesn't work. We need our health. And so that is very, very important. John 10:10 says, I am come that they might have life and that they might have it more abundantly. So God wants us to have good health and he wants us to enjoy life. You see, it was supposed to be that we were supposed to be created to be happy, created to be people that are healthy, created to be enjoyable and enjoy life. So God in itself, the Word of God actually has principles for health and for healthy living. Now, this doesn't mean, and I by no means that I want do I want you to get the picture tonight that in order to be healthy, you have to go out and start eating grass. Okay? By no means, way, shape, or form do I want you to start thinking tonight that you have to go and collect all kind of greens and start juicing them and just start living on a juice diet. Okay? You see, we humans go sometimes from extreme to extreme. Okay? When it comes to our health and our lifestyle, we need to be balanced. And we need to be balanced in a way that is going to promote health. That is very important. So we're going to look at the principles from God's Word because that is where we find the principles. That is where we find the manual to take care of our bodies. Interesting to note that the Orthodox Jews have very low cancer and very low catastrophic illness. Almost non-existent in the Jews. Almost non-existent. However, when you introduce meats and diets and foods from Western society, guess what happens to their cancer and catastrophic illnesses? Comes right up with the rest of the population. It is very interesting because it has been said that what you eat is what you are. You see, God himself dealt with the Israelites and he gave them principles for living. Exodus 15:26 says, if you diligently heed the voice of the Lord your God and do what is right in his sight, give ear to his commandments and keep all of his statutes, I will put none of the diseases on you which I have brought on the Egyptians, for I am the Lord who heals you, it says. So you shall serve the Lord your God, and he will bless your bread and your water, so your food, and I will take sickness away from the midst of you. So God wanted his people to be healthy. He still wants his people to be healthy. So disease in itself can be reversed. There are many places, there are many medical places around the country today that have come to the place where they are seeing very good results in reversing diabetes. They're seeing very good results in weight loss programs. They're seeing very good results on a whole lot of illnesses that are basically being reversed by the lifestyle that a person lives. There was none, Psalm 105:37 says, not one feeble person among their tribes. Not one feeble. Not one weakling. Now, there was no weakest link. There was no one. Everyone was strong. In 1975, they did some studies on the Egyptian mummies. Now, the mummies were from about 1900 BC. Now, this is the Egyptian side, okay? This is what they found on some of those mummies. They found heart disease, they found cancer, they found vascular disease, they found arthritis, hepatitis, tetanus, trichinosis, and lockjaw. They found most of these diseases are very common even today. So they found them because of, again, the way they were eating. Now, Egypt, you must understand, was the education and cultural center of the world at that time. It was looked upon as the cream de la creme. Okay? This was the top of the mountain, to say. But they had some books, and I've put it here. And if you don't like to hear nasty stuff, you might want to cover your ears in about 10 seconds. They had this book called the Papyrus Evers. And in the Papyrus Evers, basically what they had in there was recommendations for sickness. So if you had a certain sickness, then you would make some concoction and you would be healed. Okay? So let me give you an example of one. If you had a sliver, so if a sliver got into your hand or your feet or somewhere in your body, if you had a sliver, they would take worms and crush them up, And they would take some horse dung, mix it in with a little bit of water, and they would put that on the sliver. Okay, now those of you who are nurses here, you know that that's not going to work. It perhaps is going to make things better. Some of you guys, or you know, like myself, I'm starting to get a little bit thin here in the hair, losing hair. So they would take dogs' heels. They would take horses' hooves. They would mill all of this stuff up. They would put some more worms and whatever else in there and make all some kind of nasty concoctions to try to heal baldness. They hadn't invented Rogaine yet. But you see, this was the cultural and educational capital of the world. And they had some of the worst diseases. They had some of the worst things to try to heal illnesses, and it was not working. But you see, Moses was educated in all the wisdom of the Egyptians, Acts 7:22 says. Now, later on, you know, the Black Death and leprosy came on. The bubonic plague, as is also called. You know, this plague killed millions of people. As a matter of fact, this is what the history says, History of Public Health, page 63 through 65, George Rossum, MD, says, leadership was taken by the church as the physicians had nothing to offer. The church took as its guiding principle the concept of contagion and embodied in the Old Testament. This idea and its practical consequences are defined with great clarity in the book of Leviticus. So the bubonic plague was killing thousands, millions of people, and the doctors were throwing their hands up. We don't know what we're dealing with here. Now, you know, and I know today, that many doctors are just at the point where they don't know what they're dealing with. And even if they know what they're dealing with, they want to order more tests and more tests and more tests and more tests. Okay? So these doctors were just throwing their hands up, and that's when the church came in and they looked at things, and they looked at sanitation. They looked at the laws of health. And they said, whoa, we gotta do something here, and they did. So 60 million people were claimed by the bubonic plague before people realized that they needed to be washing their hands. They needed to be sanitizing the areas where they were. You see, God made us, God gave us the plan so that we could have a healthy lifestyle. God gave us things in balance so that we could have that balance of mind, health, and body. See, it's like when you buy a new car. When you buy a new car, many people think that because it's a new car, it's going to run forever. It's not going to need any maintenance. It's going to be a good car. And so they take it out. They never look at the owner's manual. They just drive as fast and as furious as they can down the road. They don't pay any attention to anything. They don't do any maintenance. They don't take care of everything. And so sooner or later, what happens? Car breaks down. And then they get mad because it's a new car and it shouldn't break down. But you see, you need to keep up the maintenance manual to make sure that that car is in top shape. Now, most of you know that one trip to the hospital today can wipe out all of your life savings, especially if you don't have life insurance, health insurance. And even if you do have health insurance, it can be a lot. So our health is very important. So God actually gives us principles. God gives us a diet in the Bible. So let's take a look at it real quick. Genesis 1:29 says, and God said, see, I have given you every herb that yields seed, which is on the face of all the earth. On every tree whose fruit yields seed, it shall be for food. So fruits, nuts, he gave it to us. He gave it to us so that we can eat it. And you shall eat the herb of the field. So vegetables, legumes, nuts. He gave it to us so that we can eat it. And was it enough? Actually, let's take a look at it real quick. Genesis 5:27 says this was the diet for the first two or three, for the first 2,000 years or so. Genesis 5:27 says all the days of Methuselah were 969 years, and then he died. So was it enough? Was this diet enough? Sure enough. Interestingly enough, whenever you see meat being introduced into the diet, the lifespan starts dropping. We'll see that, and we'll look at it here. Now, meat was introduced, remember, as an emergency food. Remember that God had created man, and man, all he thought about was evil. There was not a thing. I mean, God actually came to the point where he basically felt sad. He felt sorry that he had created man because every intent of the heart was evil. So God felt sorry. So he came and he destroyed the earth with a great flood. Because of that great flood, of course, meat was introduced because there was no vegetation. So meat was introduced as an emergency food. Now here's the thing. Genesis, now many people haven't caught this in the past. But you know that there's a difference between clean and unclean animals? And do you know that not all the animals went in two by two? There was actually seven of the clean ones and two of the unclean ones. Let's see this. Genesis 7:2 says, "You shall take with you seven of each of every clean animal, a male and his female." So the clean animals, he needed seven. He needed to keep the male and the female, obviously, for reproduction. But he had five extra ones. And why do you think he would have five extra ones? For food. There was nothing else. There was nothing to eat. Two of each of his kind, okay, two each of animals that are unclean, a male and his female. Whoa. Was that me? Okay, that wasn't me. Almost sounded like a gun. You know, I grew up in a war-torn country, so when I hear that, I just, I'm ready to start rolling. All right. So of the unclean animals, two of each kind, because they didn't need them for food. They just needed them for reproduction. So seven of the clean animals, two of the unclean animals. Noah knew, of course, which animals were clean because there were seven of each. So he knew that those animals he could use for food. So you see, later on, Israel was given dietary guidelines also to follow. And this is what they says. Deuteronomy 14:6 says, "And you may eat of every animal with cloven hooves." In other words, if the hoof has a split in it, having the hoof split into two parts, and that chews the cud among the animals. So later on, you know, after the ark, after Noah's ark, now Israel is encamped around. God comes back and he says to them, if you're going to eat meat, this is the animals that you can eat from. And he tells them guidelines. Number one, it has to have a split hoof. And number two, it has to chew the cud. Okay? Split hoof, chew the cud. What does chew the cud mean? Have you ever seen somebody chewing gum? Okay? Cows kind of do that right to the side. Take the food, take it back. And you know, cows have four stomachs, right? So they take the food and reprocess it and clean it out and really their food is really processed when it gets to their meat. So God knew which animals were good for food, so he gave it to them. Now this is some of the clean animals, okay? So if you're going to eat animals, this is the ones, if you're going to eat meat, this are the animals that you want to focus on because you don't want to focus on the unclean animals. The clean animals, okay? So Don't get all panicky on me, all right? Because there are some good animals that we can eat if we want to eat them. Ox, sheep, deer. Oh, and in Prineville, when I told them about deer, you should have heard the amen. Amen, because there's deer, you know. There's hunters all over the place. Okay? Goat, wild goat, antelope, cows, gazelles. So all of these animals that have a split hoof and chew the cud, those animals we can eat. Okay, if we choose to do so. List of unclean meats. Now, these are the animals that you want to stay away from. Camel, okay, does not have a split hoof. Rabbit, the swine, and we'll get to the swine, because it does have a split hoof, but it does not chew the cud. So it doesn't quite match all the way. Rock badger, I don't know, you know, why anybody would want to eat a rock badger, but some people do. But the pork is a very interesting animal. And as a matter of fact, Pat told you about the sermon by Joel Osteen. Now, most of you have heard of Joel Osteen, correct? He does a presentation, and I'm not going to get into it, into the details here, but if you want more details on PEG, if you want this DVD, you can get it. Just come up and get it from me this evening. I have some here if you want to hear more about that. But the pork is one of the worst animals that a person can eat. As a matter of fact, doctors and medical people that are studying this type of meat are telling us that pork should not ever be consumed by humans. It's not meant to be consumed by humans. And God knew that. As a matter of fact, He told us that we were not to consume it. Okay, here we go again. I don't know if it's me. You think it's the wire? It could be a loose wire. Okay, let's try it again and see what it does. Okay, if it is, give me a hand signal, man, because I'm getting spooked up here. All right, Leviticus 11:7 says, "In the swine, see, God knew that the pork was bad." And this is what it said, Leviticus 11:7, "And the swine, though it divides the hoof, having cloven hooves, yet does not chew the cud, it is unclean to you. Their flesh," he says, "you shall not eat, and their carcasses you shall not touch. They are unclean to you." You see, God knew about this. He told the Israelites about this. And for many years, people have eaten pork because it's a cheap meat. It's an easy meat to cook. But again, the pork is one of the worst animals that you can eat. You know why? Trichinosis is one part. It does carry it. Now, God is not going to withhold things for you. You know, some people say, "Whoa, bacon. Oh, pastor, come on, don't touch my bacon now. You know, don't touch my ham." You know, God says that He's not going to withhold anything that is good for us. But you see, pork is a scavenger. Do you know that pigs will eat other pigs? They will eat anything and everything. They are basically our garbage collector. And they have such a fast metabolism that they will eat stuff and it'll be through their system in 4 hours. One of the fastest. The problem with that is that when they take it in, it doesn't break it down all the way. And so you end up with a lot of the diseases that a pig would have, a hog would have. The other thing is trichinosis. Many of you have heard of trichinosis before. You can't kill trichinosis. It's a parasite, and it'll get into the body, it'll get into the brain, and it'll get in there, and it can destroy. So God was telling us, stay away from this stuff. Now I know, I used to eat pork, folks. I grew up on pork. We had a pig farm. Oh, it was hard for me. We used to make, the little pieces of meat, and we call them actually in Spanish, we call them chicharrón. The little pieces of meat, we cut it up, and we deep fry it, and we put, back when I was a kid, I used to love that stuff. But you know what? God can change your taste buds. You can learn to eat something different. You can retrain your whole lifestyle, and it can change. You know, I used to love it back then. I don't need it now. Neither do I want it because it's not healthy for me. You see, Deuteronomy 14:9 says, "These you may eat of all that are in the water." So animals from the water. Same thing here. Same principles. "Of all that are in the water, you may eat all that have" what? "Fins and scales." So if an animal from the water, from the ocean, from the river. Okay, yeah, I think let's switch. Something's going on here. Let's go to a handheld. Here, let's go to a handheld one. Okay.
folks, huh?
You know, folks, I am sorry, but maybe the old devil does not want you to hear what we're trying to say tonight from the Word of God. Because, see, the devil knows that if you have a clear mind, if you have a clear mind, God can reach your mind and He can talk to you and He can direct you through your clear mind. If you're sick and if your mind is all clouded up, it's very difficult to perceive the things from God. So something's happening, so we'll just keep going here, okay? Hopefully it won't happen again. Actually, you know what? Let's stop and pray here. Can we do that? Is that all right? Let's do that real quick. Our Father in heaven, we don't know what's happening here. Actually, we do know what's happening. The old devil is mad. But Lord, we just pray that you'll be with our sound system right now, that you'll overcome these things. Lord, help us to overcome it. And we'll be able to get through this presentation, Lord. Be with us now, for we ask it all in your name. Amen. All right, Deuteronomy 14:9 says, "This you may eat of all that are in the waters. You may eat all of that have fins and scales." So if an animal has fins and scales, it's good to eat. Now you should say amen for some of those. Salmon, trout, you know, all of these animals. Now, what are the ones that don't have fins and scales? Now again, you know, don't hate me because it's the Bible saying it. It's not me saying it. Deuteronomy 14:10 says, "Of whatever does not have fins and scales, you shall not eat. It is unclean for you." What does that include? Lobsters, shrimp, oysters, crab. You know, some of the best crab come out of this, you know, area here. Okay? But the Bible says that it's unclean for us. Now, what is the reason that they are unclean? Most of these animals are bottom feeders. Okay? They are scavengers. They take care of cleaning up. You see, that's the reason why God is telling us, don't eat it. If you're going to eat the ones that have fins and scales. So you see, God is not telling you that you should go and eat grass. But He's telling you that if you are going to be healthy, eat the healthier things. There is a better choice. Whatever does not have fins and scales, you shall not eat it. It is unclean for you. So here's the guidelines again for animals from the water. Number one, they must have fins. Number two, they must have scales. Dr. Bruce Halstead was approached by the Navy and the U.S. Army. And he was told, "We want you to do research for us, because if our servicemen get shipwrecked, if we have a ship that gets shipwrecked and our soldiers are out in an island and they're stranded for, you know, days or months, what is the type of animal that they can eat without being poisoned, without dying?" So they did a lot of research, extensive research, a lot of dollars went into it. Guess what they came back with? Exactly the same thing that the Bible said. The research said if the animals have fins and scales, you're fine. You can eat them. They are the safest route to go if the servicemen get stranded in the island, just like God had said. How about the birds? Listen to what the Bible says. "All clean birds you may eat, but the unclean ones you shall not eat." And these are some of the list of the unclean ones, okay? Here we go. Hold on to your pew. Vulture, buzzard, red kite, falcon, raven, ostrich, owl, and stork. Which animal did you not see on there? Chicken, right? Amen, somebody said, you know. You see, turkey's not on there either. You see, so this animal's heron and the bat. You know, these are the animals that God says don't eat them. Deuteronomy 14:9 says, "Also every creeping thing that flies is unclean for you. They shall not be eaten." So God is telling us here, if we're going to eat the stuff that we choose to eat, let's eat the stuff that it's going to be clean. Let's eat the stuff that is going to be better for us. Now, let me say something about chicken. Because I grew up in a farm. And, you know, chickens, it used to be that chickens, you had your little baby chickens and you threw seed on the ground and they would go out and eat it and they would grow up and they would eat the grain and then you would come and then you would eat your chicken and it would taste very good. But you know, most chickens today are fed not grain, but chemicals. Hormones. Okay? This, basically, if you were to eat a chicken that is raised in the farm and a chicken that comes from a factory, I guarantee you, you would be able to taste the difference. You see, it's not the same that it used to be. This shall be a perpetual statute throughout your generations in all of your dwellings, the Bible says, you shall eat neither fat nor blood. You see, that we were not supposed to consume fat. We were not supposed to consume the blood because the blood carries the life. The blood carries all the impurities. So there are strict rules as to how to butcher an animal to drain the blood so that when you do eat it, you're eating something that is going to be a little bit healthier for you than it would be to take all of those impurities in. Another thing that God is telling us to do is we have to keep our bodies active. We must do exercise. We must practice, move around, move our muscles, exercise our bodies so that we will be healthy. Genesis 2:15 says, "Then the Lord God took the man and put him in the garden of Eden to tend it and to keep it." You see, an inactive body deteriorates. Now, it has been average that a person that goes into a convalescent home will not last very long if they don't move their muscles. Their body starts deteriorating. If a person has been working physical work for most of their life and all of a sudden they finish and retire and don't do a thing, guess what happens to their body? It starts deteriorating. We were made to move. We were made to move our bodies to get that exercise that is so needed for us. You see, because that tones the muscles, that tones the lungs. It does things to our body that we need. It helps our heart. It keeps us healthy. So exercise is very good. Genesis 3:19 says, "In the sweat of your face you shall eat bread till you return to the ground." So you see, it's all right to sweat, folks. It's all right to sweat. And when your man comes in all stinky, say praise the Lord. Because he's been sweating, he's been doing the things that he needs to do to keep his body all right. Don't kick him out, give him a big hug and kiss him. It's all right to sweat. All right? Genesis 3:18 continues to say, "Both thorns and thistles it shall bring forth to you." So the man was supposed to work. "In toil you shall eat of it all the days of your life." So he was supposed to work. It has been said that idleness is the devil's workshop. If a person is not busy, if a person is not doing anything, it just keeps happening. Must be that old devil. We'll continue on. Now see, he gets mad when we say his name or something. You know, we can see this more with kids. You know, what happens with your kids? If you're hearing them, and if they're running around, you know that they're okay, right? But what happens? If they get really quiet, oh man, watch out. You see, and we're trained to do it with kids. But what happens with adults is the same thing. If we don't keep busy, folks, we get in trouble. I would tell you that as a pastor, sometimes the biggest troublemakers in the church are the ones that don't do anything. Okay? Now, I never said that. Okay? It's all right? Idleness is the devil's workshop. Exodus 29 says, "6 days you shall labor and do all your work." You see, our bodies are the temple of the Holy Spirit. Our bodies is where the Holy Spirit lives, and we need to take care of the body to the best of our ability. So it continues to say, 1 Corinthians 6:19, or do you not know that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit who is in you, whom you have from God, and you are not your own? You see, here's the reality. Our body does not belong to me. My body does not belong to me. It belongs to God. Actually, everything that I have belongs to God. So it's not my house, it's not my car, it's God's house. It's God's car. So guess what? If the house burns down, I can say, praise the Lord. It was the Lord's house, so He'll make sure I get a new one. You see, it takes a responsibility for me. You see, it's God's. We belong to Him. He has given us everything. For you were bought at a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. See, God has given us the opportunity to take care of His body. Now, I will tell you that perhaps the best way to take care of your body is to start eating right, start doing the exercise, start sleeping right, start drinking enough water, start doing the things that you need to do. Get some rest. Get some sunshine. Get some vitamin D. You know, the place where we live here, it's a beautiful place, but in many cases, it's very deficient in vitamin D. So when the sun's out, get some sun rays. You know, a few minutes. Don't go out there and stay 24 hours because you're going to look like a lobster. Okay? You're going to turn red. It's not going to be good for you. But let's get some of those vitamin D's. Let's do some of those principles. God created us to have good health. He created us to be healthy. 1 Corinthians 3:17 says, if anyone defiles the temple of God, God will destroy him. This is serious words, folks. We must take care of our body. We must be really careful of what we put in our body. For the temple of God is holy. Which temple you are, he says. So the big question is, how do we defile the body of God or the temple of God? What we put in it. And folks, I kid you not, you try it. The food that you put in your body makes a huge difference in the way you feel. Processed foods, oh, you try it. Sugars, you try it. Caffeines, you try it. Some of you know exactly what I'm talking about. You see, and this is not anything new. This has been talked about for years. As a matter of fact, a lot of people are looking into healthier. I even jumped on that one myself. I'm sorry about this, folks. Hold it up. Stand. Use a stand, is that what you're saying? I don't know that anything's going to help. Well, okay, let's try that. It was probably a good thing that this was an opening night, huh? I would be preaching by myself. All right. So the things that we put in our body do have an effect on us, not only psychologically, but also physically. So how do we defile the body? How do we defile the body of God? 1 Corinthians 6:9 says, neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor homosexuals, nor sodomites, nor thieves, nor covetousness, nor drunkards will inherit the kingdom of God. Come on, Pastor. You took away my pig. Actually, it wasn't me, it was the Bible. Took away my lobster, you took away my shrimp, took away my rabbit. Now the wine, folks, that's what the Bible says. Listen to what it says, Proverbs 20, verse 1. Wine is a mocker, strong drink is raging, and whosoever is deceived thereby is not wise. Do not look upon the wine when it is red, when it sparkles in the cup, when it swirls around smoothly. At the last, it bites like a serpent and stings like a viper. Your eyes will see strange things, and your heart shall utter perverse things. Have you ever seen a drunk? Yeah? You been around a drunk? My dad was a drunk. His daddy was a drunk. His daddy's daddy was a drunk. They all died because of alcohol. You see, so I've seen a lot of drunks in my life. And there's some happy drunks. Oh, they drink and they just get really happy. You know, they're so lovable when they drink, but they're not there. You can tell they're not there. There's the other type of drunk that drinks and they get mean. They start punching, hitting anyone or anything in their sight. There's the crying drunk. Oh, they cry and they start drinking. They may be the most macho man in the world, but you get a little bit of alcohol in them and they start crying like a little girl. You see, wine, and this is important because the word for wine in the Bible is the same for wine, what we call alcohol, and it's also the same word for red grape juice or grape juice. The only difference is that the wine that it's fresh or the new wine is usually called in the clubster, in the vine. You see, grapes. Many studies have been done on alcohol or, whoa, getting really tired of that. Many studies have been done on wine, red wine. Do you know that eating grapes will do the same thing for you? Has the same benefits. You see, alcohol is responsible for many car wrecks. Alcohol is responsible for many shootings. Alcohol is responsible for many health problems. None of the least is cirrhosis. That's when... I wasn't doing anything. All right, let's try it. Can you hear me without the mic? All right, let's shut the system off. There you go.